Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode for a number of reasons. Number one, I got another interview coming at you, and this is going to be an important one because it's about growing your podcast. And obviously, you guys have been following this podcast for quite some time, and I have an expert on with me today to tell you all about how that's done. And stay tuned till the end because there is a special announcement in this episode that you do not want to miss. And the second reason is we actually know each other. Long story short, this individual and myself were on a panel years ago at a live comedy show in downtown Philadelphia about dating in Philadelphia. And it was a really, really interesting format of a comedy show, but that's where we first connected. We've stayed in touch virtually ever since. And obviously, I'm grateful to have him on the show today. So, Kevin Schmidlin, welcome to today's episode.
Scott, it's an honor to be here. It's freaking great to see you again. We're talking about something different this time. We're not talking about dating, so pumped to dive in. And thanks for having me.
Yeah, a lot's changed for me. I mean, I'm married and, you know, all that fun stuff. And I do remember, you know, I started to follow you on Instagram and on social. And I remember you and I really connected at the show after, you know, the comedy show was over. You and I really connected on the fact that, you know, we were both podcasters and, you know, obviously, you know, your brand is Grow the Show and you're doing such amazing things for people. So let's rewind the tape before we talk about everything that you're doing now. If you could go back and hone in on, I guess, a moment or a catalytic event that you remember being the moment for you that kind of set you on this path of growing your podcast and teaching others how to do the same thing. What was that moment for you?
Yeah, so it was, I can remember it vividly. It was about 6 months before you and I met. So we met in I think it was the fall of 2019, around then. And 6 months before that, I was this close, and for those of you who are listening, very close to giving up. At that point in time, my podcast was called, I had a podcast called Philly Who. It was about, you know, our hometown, Philadelphia. And in early 2019, I had been podcasting. I had been making the show for about 6 months and I was totally burnt out. I had actually left my full-time job to pursue the show. Totally don't recommend that. It was totally premature. And I had spent 6 months burning through my savings, trying to be a quote unquote full-time creator. Nobody said that then, but that's what I was doing. And so for that first 6 months as a podcaster, I was cranking out episodes every single week. I was spending tons of time. Remember, I had gotten rid of my full-time job. So my full-time job was to create and grow my podcast. And I got the create part down, but I could not figure out how to grow it. I was perplexed. And when you're in that situation, it's frustrating because you're doing everything that you look around you and you see that other podcasters are doing, right? You're publishing on social media, publishing, you know, oh, new episode, listen now. You're getting into, you know, groups on LinkedIn or on Facebook to promote the show. You might even be trying to, you know, guest on some podcasts. And yet every single week you have the same amount of downloads. So I had made such a big deal to everybody in my life when I left my initial job that I was this podcast entrepreneur now, that in that moment, I had a choice. I could either call back my old boss who told me, let me know when you want your job back, when I told him I was leaving a software job to be a podcaster, or I could try to, I don't know, give it a little bit more time. And so that's actually what I did. In early 2019, I put Philly Who on hold. So I stopped publishing episodes. I broke the consistency rule, put it on hold, and I spent 6 weeks and I studied. I listened to every single podcast on the top 100 charts, took some courses, read some books, got in touch with some big podcasters, asked their advice. And what I learned is that the internet is very good at teaching you how to launch a show, but not so good at teaching you how to grow a show. And so I learned the early formings of what I would later codify into the Grow the Show methodology, which is what I do now full time. In that period of 6 weeks where I was just studying, brought Philly Who back And within a year, the show had garnered 100,000 downloads, which is a big deal for a local show. And I had generated about 120K in monetized revenue. And so when we met, I was living the life, man. That was like 8 months into finally figuring out the show. I was, you know, making good money off of the show, off the podcast. I was doing things like dating panels. and then, you know, fast forward a little bit, I wound up helping other podcasters to achieve what I did. And now I have a specialty in helping business owners. But that's the beginning, man. And that's kind of that moment where things changed for me.
So if you could pinpoint the biggest lesson that you learned from the, I would say, initial launch of Philly Who to the 2.0 version of Philly Who, what is something that you learned from the initial launch that really helped you when you did finally relaunch it after those 6 weeks?
Sure. So yeah, a lesson initially learned was that quality matters. Quality is everything. Since launching Grow the Show in 2020, I've worked directly with about 400 podcasters, 400, you know, business owners with podcasts. And, you know, my audience, there's anywhere between 30,000 and 50,000 podcasters who listen to, you know, the stuff that I put out all the time. And the vast majority of them I find who are struggling, they want to optimize for their own time. They want to just make it so that I have to spend as little time as possible. I just turn on a microphone, I talk, and then, you know, other people and robots do the rest. And it's just usually not high quality stuff. So a good lesson that I learned the first time around was I learned how to make a really quality show. Philly Who was too high quality. In fact, I was spending too much time. So I kind of started on where the pendulum was on the other side. I was spending actually too much time editing, but I really got to know the craft of how to put a great intro together, like how to make it so that when you press play on an episode, people are immediately hooked in what you're talking about and learning how to get people to stick around. So I'm grateful for that. And like I said, I wound up taking the pendulum a little too far and didn't understand that you have to spend time on marketing your show and spend time on growth and monetization and those types of things. But I was, you know, through that 6 months of going really, really hard on quality, I was able to kind of put that skill in my back pocket. And then once I learned how to grow, the show really worked.
Is there some misconception that you thought initially about what it meant to be a podcaster was compared to when you got under the kimono of being a podcaster? That thought completely dissipated. It's not what you thought. It was actually the opposite.
Yeah. So there's actually like two levels to it. First is the first thought that, you know, really early on, I believed was, you know, if you put good content out there, it'll find people. And that there's a lot of advice around podcasting and content where it's like, you know, if you build it, they will come. And that's not to take away from quality. Like quality is like having good content is table stakes, right? Your content needs to be good. It needs to hold attention. It needs to make a promise. It needs to deliver on that promise. That all takes skill. But that just gets you in the door, right? So a podcast that doesn't have good quality will never grow no matter what you do to it. A podcast that is really high quality, you still need to do things to make it grow, right? But the quality alone isn't going to make it grow. So in that 6 month period where I was cranking out amazing, like cinematic quality episodes, I was perplexed and I thought, what the heck? This is so good. Why isn't this growing? You know, they say put out a great show and it'll find your audience. Totally not true, specifically in audio podcasting. And then the second lesson that I learned was about the nuances of actually promoting an audience. And so I can go into that if you want, but that was kind of level two of learning how to, you know, be a podcast master.
You know, the big thing, because, you know, my wife and I, we teach people, you know, how to start their podcast on their own. And, you know, there's been so many horror stories that I've heard of where people are spending all this money on, you know, producers and editors and this. And can you kind of just debunk the fact that, again, it's easier once you kind of get into it, but can you, like, that person that's listening to this episode that still has that narrative, oh man, I can't start a podcast. That's too hard. That's too difficult. What's your message to that person that has that narrative and that thought?
Yeah. So it's not as easy as you just put on a microphone and just talk like this. So there's two camps. There's people who think that, and then they start podcasting and they're in for a rude awakening. Then there's the other side of the table, right? The other folks that are like, that all sounds too hard. And what I'd say to that is, it is a challenge. It is something that will test you, right? It will push you. It will make you uncomfortable in certain places. But in my opinion, there is no more efficient and there's no more meaningful way to build an audience than a podcast, because this is the only medium where people will give you 20 minutes to 3 hours of their attention. Everything else is a bloodbath for how can I make this video, take this video from 10 seconds to 6 seconds, right? And you just can't build trust. You can't go into nuance when you do it that way. But with podcasting, it's this weird little medium that across the past 10 years, as you know, the online landscape has evolved, people still will tune in and give you 20 to 60 to 120 or more minutes of their time to really dig into a topic. And when they do that, and when they listen to your show each and every week, man, you're really building some strong relationships at scale. So there are some hurdles, but it is totally worth it.
Well, I think there's hurdles in anything that you do, you know, new for the first time. It's not, you know, it's that roller coaster, right? You know, there's going to be things that are completely, I would say, streamlined and simple for people. But then there's some nuances within podcasting that may be a little bit of a challenge, whether that's, you know, I remember there was a guy that I had on my podcast that only did interviews. So he never talked by himself. He was too uncomfortable to do that. And he never even was interviewed. He would never like let anyone interview him. And I was the first person to ever interview him. And I'm like, man, you did great. Like, it's just turning the table. So there's always things that people need to overcome. Now, going back to something that you talked about in the beginning, and without giving away all the secrets and stuff, but people feel that not only is it difficult to start a podcast, but then when we talk about podcast monetization, now their heads start to spin a little bit. So when someone hears that, you know, you turned on the monetary faucet to your podcast and it was making six figures, can you kind of break down a little bit for the audience the multiple ways that you can monetize a podcast? That, again, it doesn't have to be your full-time income. It could be a little side income. It could be part-time. Can you break that down a little bit just so there's a little bit more clarification behind it?
Of course. And by the way, the show could pay for itself if you do it this way. Here's the big secret. I'm here to give away the secrets, right? If you want more from me, I'll tell you later how to get it. But here's the big secret. I get asked this question all the time. How do I monetize my podcast? Terrible question. Why? Because let me ask you this. At what moment is your podcast monetized, right? At what moment in time do you go from a podcast that is not monetized to a podcast that is monetized? And listener, I'm sure in your head you said, well, when I make money, right? Okay, cool. Here's the next question. Who is paying you? Now, usually the listener will say, well, I guess sponsors. And I'm like, okay, that's one option, but let's go down that rabbit hole. Who's paying them? Sponsorship is nothing but other companies paying you in advance for your listeners to buy their stuff. The only reason a company is going to sponsor you is because they want your listeners to buy the stuff that they are selling. And they're going to pay you in advance for that, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll pay you after the sale is done. That's called an affiliate deal, an affiliate relationship. And by the way, if you bring on a sponsor and they pay you in advance for people to buy their stuff and none of your audience buys their stuff, they're not going to be your sponsor for long. The other option, the other way to monetize a podcast is to sell something directly to your listener base, right? Where you make something and they buy it from you. And that's basically the only two ways, which if you really think about it, they boil down to one way, which is getting your listeners to buy something. So when somebody says, what are the many different ways you can monetize a podcast? My answer is there's actually only one way. And that's by converting your listeners to customers of something, right? Getting them to buy something. So for the Philly Who example, I got basically people bought Philly Who merchandise. I did indeed have sponsors and I made sure that my listeners bought their stuff. I threw live events, right? Live in-person interviews. People bought tickets to that. And there were several other ways as well. With my current shape of my business, most of my monetization for my podcast, Grow the Show, comes from customers, right? People who hire me, join my program, join my mastermind, whatever it is. And so anybody who has a podcast who hears my voice right now, if your question is, how do I monetize my podcast? That's going to be difficult to answer because it's, right? So it's so freaking abstract. Better question is, what do my listeners want to buy that I can get a cut of?
Oh, it's such a great question because my wife and I talk about this all the time, that why would you pitch and promote health and wellness type products to people that are not into health and wellness? You're not going to, but if you have a listener base that is very conscious of their health and wellness, and then you're promoting either someone else's health and wellness products or your own, you have a better chance of converting those sales. So the audience that you build and the listening base is really what's going to determine if something is or is not going to be monetized. Now, people talk about the one thing that we always speak about is pod fade, which again, you know, you chose to have a 6-week sabbatical, but and that was for good reason. You came back strong and obviously have been consistent ever since. But you and I both know so many people get excited in the very beginning about starting their podcast. They get their first couple episodes out there, and then they see the inner workings of what it actually takes to maintain one, this, that, or the other. What are your best tips for people that are currently experiencing pod fade, which for those that don't know what that is, it's basically you start your podcast, you're releasing an episode a week, you know, things start to ramp up, life and business gets in the way, then you start moving to every other week, and then once a month, and then you stop altogether. So what are some things that people can do to stop that evolution of pod fade to remain consistent with their messaging, so obviously they can then monetize their podcast?
Right. So in my experience, like I said, I've worked directly with 400. I've had 3,000-4,000 conversations one-on-one with podcasters over the last couple of years. What I found is that pod fade is really, that happens when people give up, when they've gone too long, but since they've gotten a reward, right? So they've put in all this work into publishing an episode and they really didn't get any sort of reward out of it, right? It didn't feel good, right? There's no moment where they're like, ah, wow, I'm really glad that I did this. And so those who pod fade are the ones who never figured out how to grow their audience. Number one, they don't get any engagement from their audience. So they don't hear from listeners that are super happy. Number two, and a lot of times those folks, you know, the people who you see who podcast for a long time with no growth, the reason they don't get pod fade is because they really love the interview. They really love the, you know, the process of creating the content. And they're just like, I just love talking to people, right? So those are those shows where you're like, wow, this person's been podcasting for 8 years and they still have only 100 downloads, which if you have 100, nothing wrong with that. But still, after 8 years, you're like, wow, that's crazy that you've been doing it for this long. But that's why they're doing it, because they get that reward. And so, you know, with other podcasters who don't learn how to get engagement, learn how the skill of getting podcast listeners to find out that yours exists and start listening to it on a weekly basis, then what are you doing this for? Like, what is all this blood, sweat, and tears going into this for? And so the answer to that is really learning the skill, right? Is learning. I mean, like I said, it took me 6 weeks to figure it out. My goal now is to help everybody figure it out way faster than that. But it's learning the skill of how do I get that moment where I hear from a happy listener who's a total stranger. And they're like, I just want to let you know this episode, you know, made my week. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you seeing the download numbers go up and seeing, you know, sponsorship interest. That is what combats pod fade.
So as we start to wind down, I know you have something really special coming up, you know, very, very shortly, for people that are, you know, either looking to start a podcast, grow a podcast, scale a podcast, monetize a podcast. Tell the audience a little bit about what you're putting together and how they can get involved.
Yeah, happy to. So it's called Grow the Show Live. It's April 1st through the 5th. Through the 5th, so it is next week. And basically, it is a 5-day remote summit where I'm going to be diving into my 4-step framework on how to make, grow, and monetize an amazing show. It's called the Podcast Ladder. I've kind of teased a couple of the tactics within the framework here today, but on that 5-day session is where I'm really going to dive into each one. And it's specifically for founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs with podcasts. You're going to learn how to make sure your show is branded right, make sure the content gets and keeps attention, learn the 3 ways to grow a podcast in 2024, and yes, learn how to convert listeners to customers, aka monetize as well. So it's going to be a freaking blast. It's only $97, so you know it's totally accessible. And if you're interested in it, you can go to growtheshowlive.com/scott, growtheshowlive.com/scott, and you'll get to know me and you'll get to learn the crash course on how this is done.
Yeah, and for all the listeners, that will be in the show notes, the description, and the email that goes out for you guys to listen to this podcast. You're not going to have to go too far in order to find it. So a couple final questions, Kev. Number one, if someone was to ask you what makes you different than other people that are teaching and coaching around podcasting in the space that you're in, what really separates you from other people?
Listen to my podcast. So a lot of other podcast coaches are my friends. So not throwing any shade here, But I'm a big believer that when you hire a coach and when you look to an expert, you have to see if they practice what they preach. And if you sample any episode of the Grow the Show podcast, I promise you, you're going to walk away with something. It's going to change the way you think about podcasting in some way. And you're going to walk away with tactics that you can implement right then and there and see results within a week. So that's it. It's just many podcast experts are former podcast producers as well. They produce for other shows, but a lot of them aren't podcasters themselves. And so with me, you get both, right? I can teach you how to grow a show and also teach you how to be a quality creator.
Love that. Yeah, you do. The best coaches are also the best students and the best teachers. And I'm complete in alignment with that. Nancy and I do not teach anything that we don't all also practice. We practice what we preach. And that's what really makes the difference in between people that you're going to work with to get results. You don't want to pay a money mindset coach that has a bad money mindset. You're not going to get the best results. So Kev, final question before we sign off. What does success truly mean to you?
I mean, I define success for myself is the way that I define success for myself is that I have maximized the amount of time that I have no idea what day it is and no idea what time it is, because that means I'm truly in flow. I'm truly having a good time. I couldn't tell you what time it is right now, Scott. So this is success for me.
Yeah. Nancy and I talk about all the time. We get the day of the week consistently wrong because you're just like, when you're in the flow and you're enjoying everything that you're doing, you lose track of like everything. Yep. It almost speeds up in a way. And it's like, man, it's Friday already. Like where do days go? And that's, and you know, the adage, you know, when you're doing what you love, you will never work another day in your life. And, and again, you are a true testament to that. I know myself and my wife put ourselves into that category, and we want that for everybody. But Kev, thank you so much for being here today. So great to reconnect and just love seeing you succeed and soar. But more importantly, all the lives that you're changing through your coaching, your consulting, your mastermind. And for all my listeners, I can't wait for them to kind of dig into your virtual summit that's coming up the first week of April. I know they're going to get so much value from it. And, again, if they're serious about really growing and scaling their podcast, they are not going to miss this opportunity. And thank you again for being here today.
Honor's mine, Scott. You're too kind. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So again, anyone that is looking to learn how to grow and scale their podcast, obviously the link to Kevin's summit coming up between April 1st and April 5th will be in the show notes, the description, and the email. So we hope you found this discussion and this episode helpful. Love and gratitude to each and every one of you, and I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support, love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.